May 8th, 2011. The following was recorded at North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. Please visit us online at nbrc.com.
Please stand and sing with us.
Oh. our voices to the King of Kings. We cry, Abba, Father, worthy is your name. Abba, Father, worthy is your name. Bound as one, lifting up our voices to the King of Kings.
Are you going to fight about this?
We sing now.
About 40 people that were worshiping around a campfire last night. I guess I hear they were talking about, you know, that nut that predicts the world's going to end by May the, am I on? I guess so. By May the 21st, right? And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how interesting it's going to be because, if, you know, Jesus doesn't know the day or the time. Harold Camping doesn't, and they're all there on May 22nd. And then I began to think, well, what happened if it was true? If this church was empty in 2 weeks, what would be the loss to the community? Well, just thinking about this weekend, Friday night, the youth group was here babysitting to raise money for a mission trip. That'd be lost. Friday at noon, Rick Fontana was honored, the outstanding citizen of the year in the county. All the volunteer work he does would be lost. Saturday morning, the preschool was here, raising money for their mission. That would be lost. Saturday night, a bunch of us in the Branchburg Rotary were raising $10,000 for charitable projects. Actually, Friday night, I walked into one of our members who was raising $10,000 for breast cancer. Walked into another school board member yesterday. I thought, wow, if that guy is right, in 2 weeks from now, the church is empty. You know what? They'll have to raise taxes to make up for what you do and what you've been doing in the community. So God blesses you, and God greets you on this Mother's Day saying mercy and peace and abundance. What you share with those around you, all folks who are making a difference in God's world.
Thank you.
Now you guys singing is the best Mother's Day present ever, I think. Thank you very much. Actually, you can come forward. Well, how can we do that? Okay, all the kids may come forward and we'll enjoy the junior high Warwick presentation. And Fred, I have to warn you, Jane said that she's not buying food for that week when May 21, when the world's supposed to... Actually, the world's not supposed to end. Christians are supposed to be sucked up out of the air, and the non-Christians just left, is the story. But it ain't going to happen that way. All the children may come forward.
Junior high kids, where are you?
Here they come. Those children, too, huh?
You're there. Okay.
All right. So, last week... 14 of our 6th, 7th, and 8th graders went up to Camp Warwick in New York, and we had a blast. What was the best thing?
The good view. The climbing wall.
Being with your friends. I gotta say something. When anybody asks me to do a junior high event, I cringe. And when Mark asked me to go to Warwick, I kind of had new sympathy for Jonah, because I just wanted to be seen. This is an incredible group of kids. And proof positive that if you want your kids to succeed, get them into the youth programs here at church. Can we roll the footage? Is the sound cord hooked up too?
You give me joy that's unspeakable, and I like it, and I like it, yeah. Your love for me is irresistible. I can't fight it. I can't fight it. Yeah. If life is water, I was dry as till some dirt. If it's a gamble, I've already lost my shirt. If it's a journey, I was dazed without a clue. I'll flip to you back.
I can't fight it.
All right, can we say a quick prayer and send you guys to Sunday school? Dear Jesus, thank you for bringing us here where we can come to learn more about you, to sing songs to praise you, and to grow closer to you, Lord. We ask that you bless us as we go off to our Sunday school classes and feed us through our teachers. In your name we pray. Amen.
I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees.
Come to the fountain.
sand. On the river of heartache, come to the sea. Come on, be set free. If you lead me, Lord, I will follow. Where you lead me, Lord, I will go. Come and heal me, Lord, I will follow. Where you lead me, Lord, I will go. I will go.
Interesting thing about that song, it's come to Jesus, come to the fountain, and then go where he leads. And you're going to have a couple of opportunities to go where God leads through the announcements. I'm going to invite Bob Kaiser to come up and share one opportunity with us. But if you turn with me on page 5, I want to share a couple more with you. First of all, the bottom of page 5, below our employment seekers, keep praying for them and send any job openings in your company to the office. It's dwindling. We're thankful for that, but it's not done. Underneath that, there are we're also blessed. This also began with Rick Fontana, with free tickets to Somerset Patriots game in the nice luxury box, and there's about maybe half left. You need to sign up right away in the fellowship hall if you want, because they're going fast. And on page 6 in the middle, New Jersey Flute Society. Notice the flute and guitar concert that's held next week at 3 o'clock. Bill talked about it a couple weeks ago. And Bob's going to share an opportunity with us where we can not only come to Jesus, but go and follow him in service.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the Building and Grounds Committee, I just wanted to remind everybody of our spring cleanup that's scheduled for next Saturday. It'll run between 8 and 12, and we'll have breakfast foods here, and also Doris will be cooking her chili for lunchtime. So if you're available just for an hour, a couple hours, the entire time, please come on out. It's a great opportunity for fellowship. We have a lot of work to do both inside and outside, so men and women are invited. Bring your garden tools if you're going to be working outside or your cleaning items for inside. But we look forward to seeing you next Saturday, 8 o'clock, if you're available. Thank you very much.
Short supply on cleanup day is wheelbarrows. Bring wheelbarrows. We do a lot of mulching, which is a good thing. Keep God's house beautiful. Join me in prayer. We're coming to the fountain, Lord Jesus. We're coming to the rock that is your word upon which we want to build our house, that solid foundation of your word. We come to you and we follow you into service as well. So now as we come to your word, speak to us. Help us to hear not just with the outer ear, but with the inner ear of the heart. For what we need, for what you have to say to us. In your name we pray, and all God's people said. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day. Today's reading is from chapter 2 in Luke, verses 21 to 38, and it can be found on page 833 in your pew Bible. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord." And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So the word of God.
Uh, We're in a series on meditating or praying with icons. Now, that's never done much for me, as I said last week if you were here. And it's probably never done much for you because it's not really part of our culture. But it's been a huge part of prayer for generations for those in Eastern European cultures and especially in Russia. And matter of fact, icons were painted mainly between about the 6th and the 5th or 6th, probably 6th to the 15th century mainly. And this was a time when people couldn't read, right? So how would people know about Jesus? Well, they couldn't pick up their Bibles and read. They'd have to look at a picture. And today, interestingly enough, these icons are appearing for maybe the first time in Western culture and taking off in some way, because what they do is they help analytical left-brain Westerners worship and pray to God with their right brain, which is another part, an important part of us. And so on Mother's Day, I picked the Virgin of Vladimir to be our prayer visual aid today. Now, this icon that you see on the front of your bulletin, if you can't see the screen so well, on the front of your bulletin is an 880-year-old icon that is credited with saving Moscow literally five times in its history. Now, I don't believe that holy things have magical power. I believe only God does, but let me tell you the most recent example. Most interesting to me, 1941, Germany is knocking on the door of Moscow, going to wipe out the Russians. And atheist dictator Joseph Stalin, you know, here's the guy, right, murdered 25 million of his own people. You know the story of when Stalin couldn't sleep at night, what he would do? He would ask for a list from his servants of who he was going to exterminate tomorrow, and somehow that gave him peace. I don't understand that warped evil thinking, but that's who Stalin was, this evil atheistic dictator. As a last resort, with Germany breathing down the necks of the Moscovites, asked this icon to be flown around Moscow. And within days, the Germans retreated. And believers in holy things having power, I believe only a holy God has power, but believers in a holy thing credit this icon not just with prayerful powers, but with miraculous powers, and it was called the Protectress of Russia. Well, for our purposes, we want to look at this, and we want to notice a couple of things. That your mother, matter of fact, I'm wearing lavender today, my mother's favorite color, right? Okay, your mother, Mother Church, is inviting you into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that in three ways in this icon. Through her pain, through Mother Mary's personal nature, and through her presentation of Jesus to us. First, her pain. Notice, and again, if you can't see it well there, look on the front of your bulletin. Notice her sad eyes. Now, I'm a baby boomer, and I was raised, as was my generation, raised by parents who went through tough times in the Depression and World War II, and they wanted me and my generation to experience the endless positive possibilities of America. You know, for us in the baby boomer generation, it was always Reagan's 1984 campaign slogan, "Morning in America," right? That's the way we were raised. And so for me, I don't relate too well with pain, and I don't relate well at all with pain from with medieval pain. However, we all know that pain, shared pain, breeds intimacy, right? More on that in a moment. I decided to parallel to this icon, not that it was based on this originally, but parallel the story of Mother Mary and Joseph presenting Jesus in the temple after his circumcision, right? Where Simeon said to Mother Mary these words, "A sword will pierce your soul." Here the Holy Spirit was readying Mother Mary to stand at the foot of the cross and watch her own son be crucified, if you can imagine a mother's pain when she watches her own son be exterminated for no good reason. That's what Mary was getting ready for. And we know that shared pain breeds intimacy. Most of you know, many of you know, that ever since my dad died 5.5 years ago, every morning on the way into work, hands-free, right, I talk to my mother. And, you know, it gets to be kind of mechanical, and I was noticing it was getting to be really mechanical. I would say, "Mom, how are you doing?" I'd listen to her litany of lonely complaints. "You know, your brothers don't call me. The paper boy forgot me again. My friends are getting older. What's going to happen to me if they're not around anymore?" You know, and I would just sort of roll my eyes. But then I thought, you know what? This isn't working for me. So I've decided that I take the first third of the time. I probably take half the time. But I try to limit it, give her most of the time. And I share my own pain, right? Or my own challenges in the family or in the ministry. What college shall we decide? Pray for that, Mom. How am I going to resolve this argument? Pray for that, Mom. I want this meeting to be really productive, and I'm nervous about praying. And I noticed something. And when I started doing that, we're both more engaged in the conversation. I feel heard, and she feels valued. She has a role to play in my life because sharing pain breeds intimacy, right? And that's the same with God. And that's the same with other people. If you're not sharing your pain with God or other people, you're not growing in intimacy. That's what the story of the Bible and this icon tell us, firstly. Second, the Virgin's not only sharing pain, she's very personal. Notice is it a snuggle or is it a kiss between Jesus and Mother Mary? Now, when you look at that up close, you'll probably also notice that Jesus' face looks like a man and that his neck is extra thick. And this wasn't because he was going to be an early bloomer or a defensive lineman. Icons are symbolic, right? So the older face symbolized that in Mary's arms, she held her Lord, right? And the thick neck was to symbolize that Jesus would be utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, right? But beyond that, look at the intimacy there. Look at how they snuggle. Look at how Jesus' right hand is kind of placed on Mary's shoulder as if God is giving the embrace of grace to mothers, as if God is embracing Mother Church. And then notice their eyes. Their eyes are kind of almost intersecting out there. And there's this gaze of love. Not the look of, "Hey, what are you doing? I'm watching you." No. A gaze of love and connection that God has with us. For God, Jesus is personal. Now, we see that in the biblical story, in the story of Anna. Married 7 years, a widow for, she's 84, so let's just guess. She got married at 15, which wouldn't have been uncommon, 22, 62 years a widow. She'd given the last of her years to worshiping and praying continually in the temple. This woman gave her whole, sort of like an early, a first, the first nun, so to speak. She gave her whole life to her relationship with God for herself and for others. There's an intimacy here that Anna has. Now, I don't know what your image of God is, but I can tell you that I grew up with sort of a father-like, finger-wagging God in my mind. So I thought God was always looking like my parents to see if I did something wrong, or if I was about to do something. Don't you even think about that. And God didn't feel like a friend. God felt like a foe would be too strong, but certainly a principle, right, of the universe. And that's not what we see here at all. We see here a God that lays up against our heartbeat and wants us to know the heartbeat of God. We see here a picture of a God who embraces us, a God to whom we can bring our fights to bathe our wounded selves in the love of the Trinity, a God whom we can tell about our hangnails and appreciate that he hung by nails on the cross. There is a personal, intimate connection here that Jesus and Mary and Jesus and mothers and Jesus and Mother Church has. And then notice her left hand. If the eyes show the pain of Mother Mary, and if the snuggle or kiss show her personal nature, then her left hand is about her presenting Jesus to us. And notice what it is. It's not a fist to protect Jesus from you. It's not a scolding finger, a wagging finger, like we said, oh, you know, if you get your act together, you can come and be with Jesus. It's not a stop, oh, don't go any further. This is as far as you can go with God. No, it's an open-handed invitation. Her left hand is open. And that's indeed what the Bible story is all about, right? How Mother Mary and Joseph, after his circumcision, are presenting Jesus to God. It's sort of like a early rendition of baptism. But through Anna and Simeon, we find out that not only is Mary presenting Jesus to God, she's presenting Jesus to all of Israel. And not only to all of Israel, but to all Gentiles. And not only to all Gentiles in that day, but to all time. So Jesus is being freely presented, open-handedly presented to you and to me. When I think about that, about presenting Jesus to others, I think about Mother's prayers. And I think about just the prayers that I've heard in the last month from mothers in this congregation. Here's a couple of them that I've heard spoken, sometimes unspoken. Jesus, help me to deal with my strong-willed princess. Or Jesus, help my son to find a Bible study in college. Or Jesus, help, I don't know how you'll ever do this, I can't stand it anymore, help my kids not to fight all the time. Or the most painful one, Jesus, help my child to be as normal as possible. And I think about how mothers present us to Jesus or Jesus to us all the time in the greatest and most wonderful way. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my mother, and you might not be here if it wasn't for yours, because somehow she presented Jesus to us and us to Jesus. So this week, I want to think about, in closing, thinking about that hand. I think about our vision of a hand of receiving from God and then reaching out for God's promises. And I think about that first thumb that we've talked about, how it's the grasping, receiving finger of the hand. And we've said that symbolizes daily prayer and Bible reading. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. If you want to grow in intimacy with God, maybe you'll just take the bulletin cover home. And maybe you will meditate on the pain and the personal nature and the presentation of this prayer visual aid. Or maybe you'll just take the Bible story, or maybe you're doing something else in your devotions. But I want to tell you that if you want to get more intimate with God, with Jesus, there's only one way. And that's to spend every day, give him time every day, 5 minutes if you're just starting, 30 minutes if you're more advanced, give him time every day so you can present your heart to God and you can hear the heartbeat of God for you. Will you pray with me? Jesus, you know us intimately. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think that anything we tell you will be a revelation to you. How foolish we are. You're our creator. You're the one that does watch over us in the most beautiful and wonderful way. And so, Jesus, we ask that you will help us to share our pain with you and others, to be personal with you, to be real, to be honest, to present you to others through prayer, even. Lord God, that we might grow in the most beautiful and most intimate relationship that we have on earth, and that's with you in heaven. We pray this in your name, and all God's people say. Would you stand and confess with me the creed of the most ancient creed that mothers and fathers, men and women, have confessed for probably close to 1800 years, saying together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And as God has offered himself completely to you in Jesus, will you offer your tithes and offerings to him? And will you offer yourself by passing the red pew pads so there's communication with folks down your aisle and with us in the office as well?
Daddy never went to church on Sunday. That's one thing he swore he'd never do. But Mama never gave up, she said, one day you'll be sitting here beside me and you. I can still hear Mama softly talking, her tears falling on her folded hands. So that Easter Sunday, Daddy walked in. That's when I began to understand. When Mama prayed, good things happened. When Mama prayed, lives were changed. Not much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small rumbled all the way when Mama prayed. Seventeen and wild, I hit the bottle, doing anything I dang well pleased. burning down life's highway at full throttle. While Mama burned her candle on her knees. Then one night I came home half sober. I saw Mama kneeling in the den. As I listened, she and Jesus talked it over. And I knew my restless days were about to end. 'Cause when Mama prayed, good things happened. When Mama prayed, lives were changed. Not much more than 5 foot tall. Crumbled all the way when Mama prayed. It wasn't like every one of them got answers, but the times they weren't, to me it seems, were rare. You almost felt sorry for the devil. Heaven knows he didn't have a prayer. When Mama prayed, when Mama prayed, well, not much more than 5 foot tall, for mountains big and they crumbled all the way when Mama prayed. Crumbled all the way when Mama prayed. Oh, she prayed.
Thank you, Jesus, for praying mothers and how many of us are answers to their prayers. And so we, Lord Jesus, as you're described, as Jesus, you described your Heavenly Father as a mother who was like a hen that would gather the chicks. Lord Jesus, we pray for those people we come in contact this week, that they too might know the power of prayer and the power of your Spirit. We pray this in your name, and all God's people said. You may be seated. That was a beautiful offertory. I enjoyed it. Almost just missed the red pickup truck and the shotgun and the dog, but everything else was terrific. No, it was great, though. It was a great, great song. I love that. I love the stories behind in some of those songs. Right? Pray with me. Share your thanksgivings and your concerns. We'll continue in that spirit of the power of prayer and the power of mothers praying. So, Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for Warwick and Keswick, for the church and how we've become a family, for friends from church, for getting a job in a recovering economy, for my wonderful mom and other moms, for this incredible congregation, for my mother and all the other mothers, for mothers. And so, Lord Jesus, we offer our own thanksgivings to you. Hear us as we thank you for. A beautiful day. A great Mother's Day. News that Laura doesn't need another operation. Clarity of purpose. For Lily Joan, I believe, Ray's first great granddaughter. Child. And then, Jesus, with these thanksgivings, we also present before you our pain. A son who is lost, help him find his way to you. For all the mothers who have lost children. For Neil's hand to heal after he fell down the stairs. For protection for Joseph and his unit serving in Afghanistan and all other men and women serving in Operation New Dawn. For my mom to have better patience. For, I guess that was the last one. And so, Jesus, we add to these prayers the pain of people around us and our own pain as we ask you for. For children in orphanages that don't know a mother's love. For successful brain surgery for mother, for brother-in-law, Jamie. And Jesus, we combine all of these prayers, spoken and unspoken, with that great prayer that you taught us as our pattern, not only, but that you pray with us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. To make this announcement, for mothers, there's flowers on the way out. I don't know if they're in the back, but they're here. Are they in the back too? They're in the back or here. Mothers, take a flower on your way out. Will you please?
You are the one who saves. You are the one. the one whose hand lift us from the grave. You are the light of life, the everlasting day. You are the one who takes all our sins away. You are the one who takes all our sins away.
All right, take the hand of the person next to you. And know that whoever you are and wherever you go in God's wide world, remember this, that Jesus goes with you before to prepare your path, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you in troubled times to carry you, and most importantly within you, to give you his abiding and abundant peace now and forevermore. And all God's people said,
Amen.